You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, this is a wonderful evening and a very special evening because we are actually joined by our very good friend from Florence, Italy, Giovanni Celli.
Hello.
Hello. Buonasera. How are you?
Buonasera. Good morning. Should I say good morning?
No. This will be evening. So Giovanni, yep. How are you doing in Florence? I know everybody in America. We hear so much news about Italy and Florence. And I think we are one of the first couples to have a conversation with someone that we know quite well from Florence, and we know the city of Florence quite well, and you are responsible for that, okay? So let's just hear all about Florence. Let's hear about your family, and how are you doing?
We're doing fine, actually. Florence is like a ghost town right now because it's completely empty. No tourists in the center, which means the center is empty completely. We have to stay at home. We're not allowed to go out except for shopping and for medicine. If we need to go to the pharmacy, we can go. But we have to do everything very close to our house. So we're not allowed to go far away. Because police or maybe also the army can stop us and ask us why are we there somewhere. So we need to tell them a good reason to stay, to be driving probably my car or my moped. Otherwise, we're going to get a fine, a big fine, and the problem also with the justice. So the only thing we can do is stay at home and with the kids, because all the schools and university are closed. Kids are receiving homeworks via email or some. My oldest son is having lesson on Skype online, so they have to stay there with the computer and listen to the teacher. But it's every single day is going to be almost the same, so we have to find a way to do something different every single day, and it's not so easy. We're just talking to friends on the phone. It's the only way to be, let's say, in touch with them. So it's not that easy. Looking out of the window, I don't see anybody. Just sometimes somebody with the shopping bag, and that's it. None of us is used to such an experience. It's completely new to us.
So it's not so easy. You're a very social place there. You're very social, and now to think of seeing out your window and seeing nobody in that place is just amazing. And the store, the grocery store that you go to, it's not really a grocery store like we know here, but do you go to the marketplace that's up the street there? Is that where you go?
Near the Duomo?
We can go to the big
market. Yeah.
We can go to the big market in San Lorenzo, the fresh food market, and also to the small market, the one called Conad. I don't know if you remember it. Mm-hmm. It's just 1 minute away from here. They're both open, and we can find food. No problem at all.
Do you have shortages of anything there in the way of food or toilet paper as we do here?
No, not at all. You know why? Because the center of Florence doesn't have so many residents, Italian residents, Florentine residents. We're not many here in the center, and we have the big market and a lot of small markets. So we have no problem with foods or toilet paper or whatever it is. Going to the market is pretty easy because they're almost empty. So the food is not a problem. This is one of the good thing of living in the center right now.
You know, Giovanni, how many people, just so Americans get an idea, how many people reside in the center of Florence? How many full-time residents reside there, to give us an idea?
We happened to talk to a person who had news regarding this, and they told us, anyway, in this San Lorenzo quartiere, how do you call it, neighborhood, mm-hmm. It's called San Lorenzo, okay? It's just the area around our apartment. There used to be 17,000 residents, but it's only a part of Florence, okay? You see?
Right.
And now, actually, there are only 2,500 residents.
Oh, my.
Oh, wow.
This is probably because of several reasons, probably, but I think the main reason why is that many residents decided to go and live out of the center, finding a place to rent, and at the same time renting the apartment they have in the center of Florence to tourist people. So this is why so many Italian people have moved out of the center.
Now, do they go to the
renting their own apartment to tourists?
Do they go to the countryside? Where do they go for isolation?
No. I mean, the reason why there are just a few residents here is that many people decided to make money renting their own apartment in the center and going to live out of the center.
I see.
Isolation.
So they're going to rent to visitors.
This is something that started a few years ago when Airbnb started growing here as well. So people decided to rent an apartment for 1,000 euro a month out of the center, and renting their own apartment in the center, they could make like 3,000 euro per month. So mm-hmm. It was a big gain.
Okay.
This is the reason why so many people have decided to go and live out of the center.
In the news that we see, Giovanni, the news that we see in the United States is that most of the problems are up in the Lombardy section and Bergamo. And those areas. How is Florence itself doing with the coronavirus?
There are not so many people infected by the coronavirus, but every single day this number is increasing.
Yes.
As in Italy, generally speaking. And most of it are in the northern area, which means Lombardia, which is a region of Italy, Milano, Brescia, Bergamo. Most of them are there. But at the same time, there's a number... increasing number also in Florence, so it's not easy. We every single day we receive the numbers, like at 6 o'clock, maybe in half an hour, and we will see what happened in the last 24 hours, and every single day was worse and worse. So the situation is still increasing, and we haven't reached the peak of the virus.
And that's what's scary, right? Because we feel the same way. We're behind you in ramping up on the virus in the United States, but our numbers are increasing dramatically daily as well. In fact, in the small town that Ron and I live in, which is a very small town, we have our first two cases. We had one last week, and now we have another. And it is, just very, very concerning, because you do need to get out and go to the store. So we all have to, be sure that we're using all the measures that they tell us, about washing our hands and those types of things. But you Yes. also have a young son, Leonardo, who's just a treasure, and your older son as well. But the younger son, I'm wondering if he's having a problem with the the staying in and kind of the boredom? Because the young ones have a lot of energy. So what is he doing to, you know, stay entertained all day?
It's not so easy. He's missing his friends. He's missing going to school. But at the same time, now he's getting used to this kind of unknown way of life. So he stays with us. I'm the person who's going out for shopping. Sometimes Valeria needs to go out like 20 minutes just to walk around around the neighborhood. And so Leonardo is getting used to it. From time to time, he says, when is the school going to start again? And where are my friends? Can I talk to them? But he's under control, let's say. And Pietro, the older one, he's kind of lazy. So this is very helpful. This is very helpful now, being lazy, because he doesn't really feel the need to go out. He's just staying at home. He's watching some videos, some movies, watching his phone, playing games.
So, I think that's that age group, Giovanni.
Now, Giovanni, are the you know you have you live in such a beautiful area. You're so fortunate. Everything is within walking distance. You know, food, restaurants, yes. Everything like that. So
the restaurants are all closed down. They're locked. The only thing open is the market,
right?
And so, the pharmacy. That's it.
Okay, so I have questions about that because I'm very curious to compare what's happening in Florence with what we see in our small town. Now, in the state of Texas, the governor closed restaurants and bars for a initial 2-week period, but people can order the takeout. Okay, so you can call on the phone to a restaurant and they'll prepare a meal for you, and then you can drive over there, pick up a meal, and you can leave. Or, you know, of course, we have fast food, a lot of fast food restaurants here. Mm-hmm, you cannot go in and eat, but you can drive the car up and get the fast food from the window. Is there none of that going on in Italy? It is only you must shop at the market. Is that how that is working?
What we do is shopping at the market. We don't call any restaurant. We don't know what kind of restaurant is open now. Uh-huh. For this kind of delivery, food delivery. We don't know. From time to time, I see guys with the bike and backpacks somehow. I don't know how to call it, on the bike. Uh-huh. They're delivering food.
Right.
But I have no idea. I don't think most of the restaurants are open for this kind of service.
Okay. Now I want to go back to the big market. Okay. So, about 4 blocks from your house on the way to the Duomo, and you make the left turn and that's where the open markets are. You know, they have meaning the shops, right? Where they have the shops. And then there is the big market, the 2-story market, I'm referring to. Is that the big market?
Yes, yes.
And do you
That's
shop
a big at, market for us.
And you shop at that
one? We can go there from Monday to Saturday. It's open in the morning.
And tell us.
So we can go there and buy fresh food like meat, fish, vegetables, fruit, whatever, anything.
And there is no panic buying and there is no hoarding of food by the Italians?
No, actually not in the center because of the reason I told you before. There are not so many residents here in the center. So we don't see this panic. The panic is happening out of the center. Like if I go to a big store, a big market, let's say one or two miles out of the center, they have problems.
Okay.
They have problems over there. Yeah.
Do you have family or friends or acquaintances that live in the affected area in northern Italy, in the Lombardy area, that you speak to? And if
I have talked to somebody. Yes, I do have friends, and they basically closed at home. They are isolated at home. They have no problem. The people I know and the people I have talked to have no problem, but they all told me that it's a nightmare around them. It's a nightmare.
I imagine, because you're having what we hear is that you're having a lot of problems with having enough medical equipment to take care of all of the people there, and that
it's not so easy because there are not so many hospitals able to assist so many people.
Yes,
this is the biggest problem is this: if so many people are falling sick and they go to the hospital, they have no place where to recover them. So we need to find a way to cure we hope that the sick people are going to be well in time for the other people to fall sick to get sick and go to the hospital. There are not so many places, there are not so many beds in the hospital. And then also many doctors are getting sick as well, because every single day they're in touch with people, with sick people. So
of course,
it's a situation that needs to get a peak and then go down. It cannot go with these numbers every single day.
Yeah, this is we watch it every day. It's really heartbreaking.
Yeah, this is scary. Yeah.
Now, Giovanni, when you are, walking to the store, I'm assuming because you live so close to the market, are you walking to the store?
Yes, of course.
Florence Municipal Police and the Carabinieri, are they patrolling the streets? Do they stop people to inquire what they're doing?
Yes, they are. And they're charging a lot of fine, and they people caught outside with no... a good excuse,
right?
They're getting a big fine and then they have problem with the justice, so they can be sued.
What about transit on the highways? Do the police, I guess, are monitoring, and maybe the military are monitoring the highway? Do they close the highways down for transit, or how do they do that?
They're not closing it, but they're controlling it, and basically highways are empty.
What about the trains?
I think they're working. I don't want to use any train, any bus.
No.
But I think they still work. Yes.
Okay.
And what do you think, employment-wise? Because I know my company, Giovanni, my company in California. California is shut down. So my company had to shut down, and that's a big hit on people's incomes. So you all are going through the same thing there, right?
We're going to have a huge financial problem here.
Well, you know what? Why don't we have our first cup of cappuccino? And that is a great way to commence the conversation when we return.
Perfect. And we will have it virtually with you.
okay.
All right.
We're going to have a coffee.
Let's get a coffee.
Spreading the outlaw truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Okay, well, we're back with our cappuccino and our virtual cappuccino, Giovanni.
Yes, I am here.
So back to the financial situation that you foresee for Italy. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I don't know. It's a big question. It's a big problem. We're going to see what will happen. Everything is closing down right now except, let's say, the food industry. because we need to receive food in every single city. But many industries, many offices, many companies are closing down. And if they're big enough and they have cash to support this problem, they will survive. Otherwise, I think, let's say 40%, 50% will close down.
And what happens?
Will not be easy because it's like a very fragile economy. If everything is going perfectly, everything is working. When we stop for 5, 7 days, 10 days, we start having problems. And here we're not talking about a couple of weeks. We're going to talk about 2, 3, 4 months. So I think this will create a big problem everywhere.
Is there any government assistance for, let's say, and I don't know what your situation is, but let's just say for somebody that needs to pay their rent and now they have no income, I mean, they're not going to get evicted through this, are they?
I think the government will assist people as much as they can, but not everybody in every single problem that people have. The European community will give us money. So I don't know exactly, because every single day you read something different. Anyway, the government is willing to assist and to pay and to help people here in Italy with billions to cover every problem.
Giovanni, are you working?
I don't know how many problems they're going to solve.
Are you working remotely, or is your company just closed for now?
For the moment, we're working remotely, but just a little bit.
Okay.
Just a little bit. So we it's not so easy everywhere to work. So connections are okay, but people are afraid. And so let's say that now, I'm currently not working.
Right. Now, I have a couple of questions about your medical system, because, you know, right now in the United States, of course, we have elections coming up for our president, our Congress, our Senate, but most importantly, our president. And there is always a controversy about what medical care system are we going to go to? Are we going to go to a government one-payer system, or are we going to have a combination, or are we going to go, you know, to, you know, some other alternate medical care system? And can you talk about the medical care system in Italy and how that works, and whether that's working now? Any lessons that are being learned by Italians now because of your medical care system? I think Americans would be fascinated by that.
The medical care system in Italy is let's say for free. The government is paying. So this is a very, very good thing for all of us. I know that in the States it's completely different. You have to take care of it. So if we need to go to the hospital and for a control, we don't have to pay anything. I have read that in the States, if you go to the hospital now to make a check on the virus, you have to pay $1,000, $2,000. I don't know, but anyway, this has always been the same. The medical system here in Italy is guaranteed by the government, most of it. Maybe we have to pay just a few, like maybe 50 euro, that's it, for many things. So.
Giovanni, is there a prioritization with sick people on who gets priority of care and who doesn't? For instance, you know, Italy has a significant elderly population as compared to, you know, other countries. And of course, we see a significant amount of deaths of elderly in Italy. Does the government prioritize, or the hospitals prioritize, who gets healthcare, critical care, as opposed to other people? How does that work? Or does everybody get the same thing? Everybody is equal no matter what your age or medical condition? Mm-hmm.
I think that we're going to get to a point where they will have to decide if they have an old person and a young person. They will probably try to save the young person. It's not so easy to say such a thing, but I think this will be what here in Italy all the doctors will have to do. They will probably take care of the young person.
Because, you know, I know in Italy they're having a significant, and we're having a problem. But I think Italy, especially, is having a problem with the amount of number of respirators that are available to give to people that are critically ill. Is that the type of prioritization that maybe you're referring to? So if there's an older person and there's a younger person and they're both critically ill, the difference?
If there's only one bed, they will probably give the bed to the young person.
Okay. And the respirator as well?
Well, I have no idea regarding this.
No. Those are very decisions.
Because we read so many things on the newspaper, but you never know what's going to happen really. So,
sure.
I don't know, but I have read this thing. I mean, it's not human, let's say, to say such a thing, but if they have to decide between a younger person or an older person, they will probably try to help the younger person.
Right, and we've heard that, and I think that, you know, I mean, it is a terrible thing, but we are in an unusual, unprecedented situation right now, and there just aren't enough doctors, there's not enough equipment, there's not enough hospital beds, there's not enough respirators. Yes. So, and your numbers are so alarming to you, I'm sure, there, about how many people are getting it. And, you know, you and I keep in touch every few days. I want to make sure that you and Valeria and the kids are doing well, because, you know, we are waiting our time to come back there and visit with you. And it's just really a terrible situation. And, you know, we feel the same thing in the United States, Giovanni, because we're just ramping up right now, and we don't know how bad it's going to get here. But when you look at places like New York City, I mean, it's really exploding there. And San Francisco, Los Angeles, those areas are just really ramping up. And we're going to be in many areas in the same situation as you are. And then we have a lot of places in our country that are not so close together. You know, what strikes me about this virus in Italy, in some of the places like Milan, where you have a lot of tall apartment houses and people are really kind of living on top of each other there, it seems like it spreads faster in those areas because people are so close to each other.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, where I know where we live, we're not on top of each other here, and we're very spread out. So I feel a little bit more comfortable, but still, I mean, it's just really going crazy all over the world right now. And I have friends that are stuck in different countries that can't get home to the United States. And, you know, just there's so many situations that we could talk about through this just pandemic catastrophe that has happened to the world. It's changed all of our lives dramatically in such a very short time.
And you know,
yes, exactly.
I was going to say, as we get older, you know, as we, you know, get into more towards our senior years, then it becomes even more, you know, concerning to people like Linda and I. So we have to be extremely careful because, you know, we have kids and we have a firefighter, we have a police officer, you know, they're out there, you know, contacting, you know, many, many people. So we, Linda and I, have to be, you know, very careful on how.
Absolutely, you have to. You have to, as well as we have to. I mean, I think Italy is a couple of weeks ahead of the United States.
Yes.
And we are following China. Probably China is 2 or 3 weeks ahead of Italy as well. So it's a sort of line. We don't know what's happening because they started here. The government they started with the schools. They decided to close the school, and they started in March 15. March the 5th was the last day at school. Okay. And they said, okay, we're going to open on the 15th. Then after 5 or 6 days, they said, oh, no, okay, we're going to open on April the 3rd. Now they're probably moving again this deadline, and we're going to see the schools open maybe in May. I don't think they will open the school.
No, you know, and Giovanni, we've already closed our schools in Texas through the end of the school season. Mm-hmm. And so we're
They're doing it here step by step.
Yeah.
I think for a reason of not terrifying people. Like we're in March when we close the school for the year, which means June. From March to June, three, four months, it's a long time. So just not to scare people too much, they probably decided to go step by step.
Correct.
So now, first of all, 15th of March, then April, then May. I don't think they will open the school. Okay. I think this thing will go on till June, July. I hope the peak will be in May. Let's say in April, half of April.
Yeah.
The peak to be here now at the end of March, which means 10 days from now, let's say.
Well, you know, the temperature also has something to do with the virus. You know, the cold.
Yes. Okay. I don't know.
The worst.
It's something I have read. Like a normal flu is usually stopping with the summer, with the heat. Okay. You get a normal flu during the winter. Okay, winter probably during the spring, but when the temperatures are going up, the normal flu is disappearing. Now, everybody says that this virus is completely unknown. So who can say that it will behave exactly like the other flus? I don't know. We have to wait and see, because here it's not hot at all. We have 15 degrees, 16 degrees, so it's still pretty cold.
You know, Giovanni, going to, this is a good topic, I mean, going with the medical response, because Italy belongs to the European Union, the EU, so Italian, I would assume, because you're an EU member, that the Italian doctors are working with all of the other doctors from all the other EU nations. And just like the United States doctors are working together, but then they're also working with, you know, medical professionals and scientists throughout the world. Does everybody sort of combine the EU, combine their medical expertise to fight the virus?
I have read that a group of Chinese doctors are here in Italy. They arrived like 5 days ago, and then now Russia is going to send people as well, doctors and several equipment. So everybody's trying to help, because this is not something Italian. This is something that belongs to the world.
Yes.
We need to find a solution. And so, as well as scientists, probably they need to cope. They need to work together in order to find a cure to this virus.
We have some things that are working that we've developed in the United States. I'm sure you've read about them, and some of them are drugs that have existed for a while for other purposes. There are malaria drugs, and there's actually Ebola drugs that have had a good effect on helping people that are already infected with the coronavirus that are in serious condition. So they're testing those things, as well as working on, there are some things that are supposed to be coming out in the next 10 days or so that are supposed to be helpful to people who are already infected. Then we have some vaccines that some of our pharmaceutical companies have developed that have been fast-tracked into human trials right now. So we do have some vaccine potentials that volunteers have already, you know, been injected with to see what happens there. So that's hopeful. It's still too far away for us because we want this to be over now. It's not the inconvenience, as you know better than anybody. It's our health. It's our lives. So I'm really hopeful that we get some sort of answer, whether it be an antiviral that can be taken or whether it's a vaccine, which would be ideal. We do need to get a handle on this.
I read an article regarding the vaccine. How long does it take to create a vaccine and to be sure that the vaccine is working? And this doctor said, we usually take 10 years to create a new vaccine. And this is something new, absolutely new. And they're running, they need to work as fast as they can. And this guy said that a good vaccine will be probably ready in 1 year.
Yes.
1 year is too far away.
A year is too far away.
I know that in Italy, in the north of Italy, they're trying to test this old medicine. Let's call them old medicine, okay? Coming from Holanda, coming from the States, coming from Japan, they're already testing, and there are some volunteers that are sick, already sick. They're willing to test this medicine. So everybody is trying to run as much as they can in order to find something that at least is going to slow down this problem.
Absolutely.
Because as I was trying to say before, the problem is too many people sick at the same time. We don't have hospitals, we don't have beds, we don't have doctors enough. So we have to slow down the number of sick people as much as we can. So even if we don't find a good vaccine, we need to find something that slows down the
impact of
this virus. The impact, virus. Yes. Exactly.
Well, this is a good time to take our last coffee break. And, you know, I've got a couple of questions when we come back on how the media is handling this whole thing. So go back, get another cappuccino, and we will join forces together in just a minute. This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com. So we are back with Giovanni and also his beautiful wife, Valeria. And, you know, Giovanni, I've got a question. We have, you know, of course, every country has its own news media. And the news media here in Linda, in our opinion, really has, you know, ramped up the fear of the public. And of course, this is also, we call it a political pandemic as well, because, you know, we have, you know, elections coming here in the United States, and that, you know, of course, there is an agenda. But we're just interested on how the Italian media has been handling all the news. Do you like the news? I mean, meaning, is the news helpful to Italians, or does it cause more panic? How do they handle the news in Italy?
I don't think they're causing too much panic. The panic is caused by the numbers, and everybody sees the numbers without a comment from the newspaper, let's say. The problem, I think, will come when there will be a slowdown with the virus. And I'm afraid of people going out after maybe 1 month. They have stayed at home 1 month closed, that they don't see anybody. And when they read some good news on the newspaper, they will try and they will tend to go out as much as they can. So I'm afraid of that moment, that particular moment, when good news will be coming. So I will be very curious to see how the newspaper will be handling the good news, because on bad news, they don't really need to create a panic. They're not doing it. They're just referring the numbers.
Okay.
And the number itself is creating panic. Let's say they don't need the newspaper to increase the panic. The worst time will be when there will be a slowdown with the virus. So because everybody will try, will go out, and it's like when you're recovering from a flu, you feel good enough, you go out, and then you fall again.
Right, because you don't know how long the infection remains in the individual. I think they're still trying to figure that out.
Well, too, yes. you don't want to start this over.
No. I'm going to be cautious, okay, because I don't want this thing to start again. But this is what I fear the most. When good news will be coming out, everybody will tend to go out to leave their home and to stay together, to go to restaurants, to go have a drink, and whatever. So that will be the worst problem, I think.
Well, I have a question for Valeria.
You have a question for Valeria?
Hold on a second.
So you can translate for her. Oh, you're going to put the earphones on her. Okay.
So Valeria, you are really stuck in your home for a long period of time. As a family and as you and your husband, how do you deal with that, and how do you make it so that people don't, you know, get on each other's nerves and keep it a happy experience? This is a very trying time, and I know Ron and I deal with the same thing at home too, because we're in close quarters all the time. We have to make sure that we don't snap at each other and, you know, get frustrated with the situation and take it out on each other. How do you and Giovanni and your family handle this situation?
The answer is, fortunately, we have a big home.
We have space, we have room.
You can get away from each other.
Yes, exactly.
This is a solution.
That makes sense. That a lot of people don't have big homes, and we, different than you, we don't have any kids at home, only our dog. So we don't have the extra stress of having to keep everybody happy at home.
We have to be very patient. First of all, this is a good answer. We have to be very patient. We are lucky enough to have a big house, so we can move from a room to another. If I don't want to have a problem with Valeria, I can probably run to your apartment and watch the television over there. And then we try to do something with the kids, like baking cakes or making bread, or playing the piano, because Leonardo is studying piano.
Oh, good.
And we will try to find maybe a movie to watch together. We try to make some workout. Sì, ho già detto.
And Giovanni,
yes.
Who's doing the cooking at the house?
We are both doing something. Sometimes Valeria, sometimes I take care of it.
Who's
sometimes
the
I make some cakes. Today, Leonardo and I made an apple pie.
Oh, okay. Who's the better cook?
Valeria is. She's better than me. And also, she's listening to what I'm saying. So,
oh, we deliberately tried to get you in trouble.
Happy wife, happy life.
So, Ron always says. Anyway, and we know that it's not an easy situation, but we're handling very easily, let's say.
Well, we want you to stay indoors and stay safe, and we are going to do the same here because our priority is to get back there to Italy, to your beautiful home and villa in the heart of Florence, and spend time with you again. And just so people have a perspective as to where you are in the heart of Florence, you are, I mean, just steps away from the Medici Chapel and
yes.
A block or two away from the Duomo. And it's just an absolutely magical place that you live, and we are so fortunate to have you as friends, and we worry about you, and we want you to, you know, do everything to stay safe and keep your beautiful family safe, and just wait this out, and we'll just keep doing the same here.
Thank you very much for your wonderful words, and we're looking forward to seeing you soon as well. Here in Italy, and maybe one day in the States as well, when everything will be over.
And we will all get past this.
We are actually doing our best to be safe. So we're not going out. We just talk to friends on the phone, and that's it. And we spend a lot of time here trying to do our best not to jump on each other. And I know it's not so easy, but okay, it's still easy for the moment. It's still easy.
Well,
I don't know what will happen in 2 weeks from now.
Well, it's better than the alternative, right? So we just have to all deal with it. And I'm praying, Giovanni, that the numbers in Italy start to go down instead of up. And you can start to see some light at the end of that tunnel. I know that I'm praying for that for us too. We're still behind you, so we still are going to ramp up more.
And, you know, yes, Giovanni, before we close our conversation with you and Valeria, know that you are all in our prayers. Italians are all in our prayers. You know, we are all sons and daughters of Florence, and we are all Italians. So we wish Florence strong and Italy strong.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your thoughts and for your nice words, wonderful words. And I want to be in touch with you in the next few days. So let's see what's going on. And we can be in touch with WhatsApp or whatever. And any question you may have regarding Italy, just either you give me a call or we make a conversation like this again. Maybe
great.
In 2 weeks from now, let's
have another.
Let's say we can do the same in 2 weeks.
Wonderful, wonderful.
We look forward to it. Valeria, love to you too, and to the boys,
Leonardo and Pietro.
Pietro, and
our best.
Give them our best.
Thank you very much. Have you seen my picture from that I sent you on the phone?
Oh yes.
On WhatsApp.
Yes, yes, we did. That's,
I went for a walk by myself at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. before dinner, and it was empty. Florence was empty. It was terrific.
And you know, you described it. You described it so well, where you said it was a ghostly beautiful. And
see, yes, exactly.
Your pictures were absolutely beautiful.
And I found myself walking by myself with no one around. I couldn't see anybody. It was incredible at 7 p.m. Absolutely somehow terrifying on the other side. Beautiful because it was like having Florence in my head only for me. But it was terrifying.
Yeah. Your pictures are beautiful, and we are going to be putting some of those pictures up with this show so that people can see them, because it is...
Oh, if you need to know what picture is referring to, what place is it, it's like the old bridge or Piazza Pitti or the Duomo, just sure. Ask me.
Well, we recognized many of the pictures from all the time that we have spent with you in Florence. Can. Yes. So we bid you ciao, buonanotte.
Thank you. Thank you very much for this interview, let's say this chat. And I hope I'm going to talk to you again on this channel in 2 weeks, okay?
In all 2 weeks, and we hope that it's better news, right?
Yeah, we do.
Well, hopefully.
Bless you both.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, did you hear what Giovanni said, Ron, about the fines that they have to pay if they get caught walking around and they're not going directly to the store or a pharmacy?
Yeah, I did. I don't know if it's going to come to that here in the United States, but I just thought it was fascinating from everything that we have learned in our visits to Florence and staying with Giovanni and Valeria and their wonderful family. I mean, Florence has always been such a beautiful, bustling, you know, place, just full of people, vivacious. I mean, it's living. It doesn't stop, you know, the action doesn't stop until about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right, yeah.
And now to see some of the pictures that Giovanni posted to us.
I'm going to post all those on our Talking While Married Facebook.
You know, that people will be absolutely amazed. And what Giovanni said, and I thought it was very appropriate after looking at the photographs, it was ghostly beautiful.
It was, his pictures were beautiful, and it was ghostly beautiful. The other thing that he mentioned that I found really interesting was about the media, how the media is not causing panic there, and how they have enough food and no panic buying, and how they don't have the schools, how they don't tell the kids that they're going to be out of school the rest of the school year, but they tell them in small increments so that there is no panic.
Right. You know, I totally agree with doing something like that, and I understand the mindset behind it. Because if you start telling people that they're going to be out for months at a time, that's a huge leap to take mentally and emotionally.
Sure, it is.
But people can take bites, you know, they can take small bites a week at a time, 2 weeks at a time. But you know, and of course, Giovanni and his family are at the, you know, the very famous Casa del Lebrandini, and it is just a couple of blocks away from the Duomo, and and he's in the San Lorenzo neighborhood, and they have the most fascinating open air market, but the indoor market, which is two stories high, is one of the most beautiful markets that I've ever seen. I've only seen one other market to compare to it, and that's in Barcelona, Spain.
Yeah, and it's fresh fruit, fresh vegetables,
poultry,
fresh
fish,
poultry,
you
fish.
Name
yeah,
it.
And that's where he walks to, which is just probably a 5 minute walk.
Yeah, it's about two blocks.
Yeah. And he walks there to get his produce. He says that they're open 6 days a week in the morning, and it's not crowded, and he has no problem at all. As opposed to us, we go to our local HEB store or to Walmart to try to pick up something, anything, right, that we can find. And some days the shelves are just completely empty, as though the store has never been stocked. And other days you can find an item or two or three that, you know, you really need. Most of the things that you really need, we have a hard time with: toilet paper, paper towels, medicines, some medicines, sure, and things like eggs, butter, staples that you have in your home.
Yeah. You know, I still don't get the toilet paper thing. I don't think anybody gets the toilet paper thing. And as a matter of fact, Giovanni laughed when we told him about the toilet paper thing. He got everything else. But the toilet paper, you know, yesterday I went to HEB with our shopping list. And I felt really good. I was able to get about 80% of what we were looking for. Couldn't get any milk. Couldn't get eggs. I couldn't get butter. I couldn't get toilet paper.
Right.
But I managed to pick up a few of the things that we need. We asked him about Lombardy. Okay.
Yes.
And specifically Bergamo, where my mom is from in northern Italy. And I believe the Lombardy region is also where like Milan is. And he
yes.
said that he mm-hmm. was talking with his friends and he says that the conditions up there are dire.
Yeah. And everything that we see on the news says the same. And what he'd like to do and what I think that you and I would like to do as well is keep people in America appraised of how it's going there. And we'll be talking with Giovanni through this crisis every 2 weeks and, you know, just see how things are deteriorating or improving, hopefully improving.
And you know, what's really kind of neat about Giovanni is the first time that we did a radio show with him, you know, Talking While Married from Florence. And I believe we did two shows, but we did one show with him mm-hmm. Last year. He was so shy. Now he really loves the whole radio thing. And he loves to have the cappuccino conversations.
Well, we love, it's the same way that we converse with him in person. So right. that was really nice. And we actually got to see him actually on Skype as well. So that was nice to see his face and see that they're all healthy and doing well.
Yeah.
And, you know, God bless them and their family, and God bless all of the people in Italy and all of the other countries that are suffering. And our country is indeed ramping up, and it's not good news for all of us. So God bless us all as well.
Yeah. And I felt really good to see how good the Celli family are taking, you know, this particular problem.
Well, they're a stand-up family,
and
Ron.
We will see them soon. Italy strong, Florence strong.